Abigail and I have studied the Bible together for a long time. She's one of my first friends to study the Bible with. So I'm just going to add a little bit of my own. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would illuminate what you're saying to us in this season, that we'd be ready, Lord, for everything that you want to give us, that I pray you'd start to change our vision of the next few months. I just appreciate David saying something about the next 3 months last week. Lord, I'm agreeing with that. Would you help us, Lord, as things get darker or seem to get darker or more intense, that for us, Lord, as we gaze at you, Jesus, that we'd feel free, that we'd feel joy, that we'd bear fruits of righteousness. I just thank you that the increasing temperature, Lord, the light getting brighter, that is a promise to bear fruit. And I'm just asking that we'd see it, Lord. I pray that the people in our homes would notice it for each one of us, Lord, that our kids would notice that we're more patient, we're more kind, we're more gentle. I pray that we'd notice it in our kids. We'd notice it between spouses and with each other. Lord, even as we watch the news, even as we hear, even people that resist the very things that we care about, Lord, that we'd feel a grace to have joy. Would you do that, Lord? Would you release that? Even as we're talking this morning, would you just start to change our vision of what it means to walk in power, to do greater things? Jesus, I'm asking, when you said greater things, I assume things that I thought were great, and maybe you're saying something different. Maybe you saw the things I kind of ignored as the great things, and the really dramatic things, it's just kind of commonplace. Or would you change our vision this morning? In Jesus' name, amen. If it's off, if it's right, strengthen it in Jesus' name. Okay, so this is the third message about tarrying for power. And I just felt like the Lord was saying to me last month that it was time to start getting ready for an outpouring of the Spirit. Now, if you listen, especially on social media right now, there are many places in the earth that are talking about the outpouring happening already. I'm hearing friends in Australia talking about it, Jonah and some of his friends in Grand Rapids. Luke has experienced something. There's something happening, especially among young people all over the earth right now, of an experience that they're describing as the pouring out of the Spirit. And it's really unto zeal for God, prayer, and holiness. And that's happened in the past where people have described the outpouring of the Spirit as those things. In modern history, typically, when I hear about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in the charismatic church, mostly what I'm hearing about are signs, wonders, and miracles, you know, healing, prophecy, maybe, you know, the finger of God stuff in that movie, you know, manna in the Bibles. But historically, revival has been much deeper than that, much deeper than what you don't need faith to see. Okay. And so I just really feel like the Holy Spirit is pressing on me to get clear about this personally, like to get clear about getting eyes to see what the outpouring of the Spirit is going to look like in the end times. And that's really the point of all these messages. So this message today is something that I've actually started to write a book about this probably about 2 or 3 years ago, and like get so overwhelmed by some of these concepts and some of the pain inside of them that I never seem to be able to finish. So I've got all these scraps and pieces of something that people in the charismatic church have called the nameless and faceless generation. There's a nameless and faceless generation coming forward right now. And Jesus is going to get all the glory for the end time outpouring, all of it. And so we really want to set our sights for that right now. So item one, the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It's important to kind of get back. I felt like this is where the Lord took me this morning. And he's like, this is where I want you to start with the idea of what is the point of salvation? Like, what is the Holy Spirit for? So the Holy Spirit is the conduit. I mean, the Holy Spirit isn't for anything. And that's one of the errors I make in my own mind, because I can't see the Holy Spirit. I forget the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. I'm for him, right? We're made for him. And he's given to the earth and to us. He's put inside of us to draw us into the authority of God. That's really another way that you could phrase with this paragraph here. So the Holy Spirit is the conduit through which the power of God's expressed desire, or his word, extends to the earth to turn it from unordered into a garden. The Holy Spirit is the power of God on earth, according to Revelation 5. He's sent to bring order at the command of God to what is in chaos, what is unordered, what is disorderly. And the order that he wants to bring into the earth is not so much the order of, we talk about this sometimes, the order of a cornfield, where like man would be like, that's order when everybody does what they're supposed to do and stays in line. It's more like the order of the forest or the order of a cultivated forest, like a healthy garden. A garden is the best example because it's the one the Bible uses. But a garden isn't like a cornfield. There's not a lot of people setting a bench in a cornfield and like just looking at the beauty of those rows. But people do put benches in gardens and like hang out there. So Genesis 1, 2 to 3. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. So the Holy Spirit executed on the desire of God that God expressed by the word. Now, to get the full story, you actually have to look at John 1, because Jesus, he is the expressed desire of the Father. You want to know what the Father wants? Look at Jesus. You want to know what the Father wants from humanity? Look at Jesus. That's what he's going for. If you're like, I just don't know what God wants me to do, look at Jesus. That's what he wants you to do. He wants you to follow Jesus. He wants you to forgive enemies. He wants you to be meek. He wants you to suffer loss in hope that if God lets you suffer the loss, it's because he's going to give you something more than you're losing. That's what it says about Jesus, that he suffered the loss of everything, but then got a name above every other name. He wants us to live in this, what's called the blessed hope of the resurrection, which is to be resurrected like Jesus. Okay, so Jesus is the expressed desire of the Father. That's why every prayer that Jesus prayed, the Holy Spirit responded to. That's why. Jesus was praying perfect desire of the Father on the earth. So if you want the Holy Spirit to answer your prayers, pray like Jesus. Pray by the Spirit. Like, let the Holy Spirit tell you what to pray, okay? John 1, 1 to 13. In the beginning, the Word already existed. Now, this is speaking of Jesus. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. Now, John the Baptist and Jesus, the thing they had in common was the Holy Spirit. When Mary went to visit Martha in that story, the Spirit leapt within Martha. The Spirit was on John the Baptist. Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's what that is their kinship. That's why John the Baptist was sent before Jesus. He says, I didn't know him till the Spirit landed on him. But the Holy Spirit was what marked the thing John was looking for. This is all about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing order to an earth that's in chaos. So when you see chaos out there, and you should right now, and disorder, and lawlessness is what that means. Lawlessness equals disorder. When you see lawlessness, what we have to understand is that the Holy Spirit's outpouring is to bring order to that thing. That is the way it's going to be ordered. That's what's going to happen to fix the earth, is an outpouring of God's glory in the Spirit. So God sent a man, John the Baptist, verse 6 to 7, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him because of a lack of the Holy Spirit's leadership. That's why. So if you want to recognize what Jesus is doing right now, you actually need an outpouring of the Spirit, a baptism of the Spirit, an immersion of the Holy Spirit. This is what happens in the Bible when people are about to be persecuted. They get an outpouring of the Holy Spirit so they can see clearly through the persecution. The reason that the Lord is having me preach clearly about the outpouring of the Spirit is because a war is coming. A war against saints is coming. Now, it's not far away. I believe it's weeks and months away. I think it's already happening, honestly. It's just it happens in a process. And if you look, martyrdom has been increasing in the Middle East in the 1040 window for many years now. It's at an all-time high, and that all-time high is higher than the all-time high was last year, and it's going to be much higher next year, and it's spreading out. It's not being confined to its traditional boundaries. It's actually starting to expand. You want to get ready for that by the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That's the point of the Holy Spirit coming, is to bring order where there's lawlessness. Now, if you're lawless, if you're disorderly, if you're like, I just kind of do what I want, Yes, I know there are rules. Yes, I know there are people that God has appointed to release vision for this group or for that group, but I don't really care about that. I just kind of do what I think God wants me to do. You have to understand you're outside of the leadership of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to lawlessness, ever, because it's contrary to his spirit. Now, God's law is higher than man's law, and there are certain very acute exceptions to the rule where God tells you to do something that the authority or the policy or the rule says not to do. But those are very limited, and they cause pain in the heart. They actually cause humility to come when we step into those. But otherwise, we should be actually trying to be more lawful, more orderly. Now, you can't do that by gritting your teeth and having it make sense to you. You can only do that by the outpouring of the Spirit. But I'm telling you, the government is going to be so broken, it will take a miracle for you to find out how to navigate in lawfulness all of the brokenness and the evil, the depravity that's coming to government, but you have to. Jesus lived in a very depraved governmental system, and he still, by the Spirit, they'd be like, should we pay taxes? He's like, give me the coin. Whose face is on it? Caesar's. Give to Caesar what Caesar's. Give to God what's... I mean, this is the Holy Spirit telling him exactly what to say to stay lawful in a completely apostate, hating God system. Do you see what I'm saying? You need this. So if you're imagining, you know, the mark of the beast is going to be thus and such, and so I'm going to, and you're not doing anything to hear the Holy Spirit lead you into lawfulness. I appreciate Lonnie's prayer Friday night. He's like, you know, this mass thing, it stinks. This stinks. God, give me patience. This is what we need. We need to get something we don't have so we can be people we are not, so that we can agree with God about lawfulness. It's a test. A bad government is a test to see if you agree with lawfulness when it benefits you, or only when it benefits you, or also because God wants us to. There's one thing to be lawful when it's all great for you. Of course you're lawful. But when it doesn't benefit you, are you like Jesus? Are you lawful like Jesus when it doesn't benefit you? That's what the outpouring of the Spirit is for. In fact, very first tests we see of those first disciples that were at Acts 2 and got the Spirit and the fire, they were brought before councils right after that. And they were like, we want to obey you. We have to listen to God in this area, but they wanted to be lawful. Paul, when he found out he was talking to the high priest, he changed his tone. We have to be a people like this. We must. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Now, there's many people, they just want the power of the outpouring. That's what we were talking about a couple weeks ago when I was talking about 1 Corinthians 13. If you just want the power, you don't want God. If you want God, you want the personality of Jesus. If you just want to win, Jesus could have called on 12 legions of angels to win. Jesus didn't have to come as a baby. I mean, we're about to celebrate the coming of Christ as humble and weak, unable to defend himself. God brought God to earth, unable to defend himself, at the mercy of humans. Is that who you're willing to be? Is that what you're going to celebrate in the next 2 weeks? Lawfulness, meekness, humility. Is that what the manger is about? That's what Bethlehem is about. That's what David is about, actually. He came into the world he created. The world did not recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him. Now, I'm telling you, if you don't heed my words, and these are Bible words, that's why I feel comfortable saying that, you will miss the second coming of Christ, and you will fight people who don't. You will. Guaranteed. There's no neutral ground. It's wheat and tares. He's removing tares from wheat. There's no neutral ground. There's neutral ground for unbelievers, not for you. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. It comes from a decision-making system outside of humans. That's what the rebirth is. It's a yielding to a decision maker that ain't you and ain't the people you think are smart. It's the Holy Spirit making your decisions. This rebirth happens by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what makes a person holy, just as the Spirit made John the Baptist holy and Jesus holy and David and the prophets of old. There's a few people that got touched by the Holy Spirit. They became separated, sanctified unto. That's
they became holy. It is the reintroduction of the Holy Spirit that makes holiness even possible. And that's the point. So this is the point of receiving the Holy Spirit. Now, mostly we don't think about it like that. When we read the Bible in the flesh, what we see is when you receive the Spirit, you receive a more power, like more understanding, more revelation. You're in the group. You know, they went to Apollos, and they're like, did you hear about the Holy Spirit? He's like, no, they taught him the way of the Holy Spirit. Then he was kind of more in. Like, that's not, none of that has anything to do with the Holy Spirit. That we're just, that's the flesh looking at external circumstances and assuming we understand what's happening. What's really happening is the Holy Spirit is the road to meekness and humility and holiness. It's why Paul preached holiness. Paul preached holiness because that was proximity to Jesus. That's what he wanted. He's like, I don't even think I've attained it yet. But this one thing I do, I forget what's behind me. I run my race because I'm attaining to the upward call of Christ. The greater thing that Christ is calling us to is to be like him. Not to take portions that look good to the flesh and try to do the same things he did, but to be like him, to have the same heart as him. So this is the point of receiving the Holy Spirit, to allow holiness or life to overtake us again. That's what holiness is. Now, it's confusing to human beings because of the patience of God. Some people get to keep on living even though they hate holiness. They hate being separated unto God. So we might think holiness and life are separate, but they're not. There is no life without holiness. Just God's really patient, and he's waiting to see who wants holiness before he gets rid of all unholiness. So you want to just decide right now, holiness equals life. That's the only way it works. The only people that will live with God forever are people that like God. And God said, be holy because I am holy. John 3:5-6, Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. There's nothing going on in here without the Holy Spirit. You cannot be saved without the Holy Spirit. That's what happens when you get saved. The Holy Spirit gets put back in you. Now, there's confusion because you can also get immersed in the Spirit. That's different than getting the Holy Spirit inside of you. To be baptized in the Spirit is to be voluntarily immersed in that Spirit. So, and we talk about this a lot, man is triune. Your spirit, when you first say yes to the leadership of God, God gives you everything you need to keep saying yes to the leadership of God, which is the Holy Spirit. So it's like he plugs you in to the network with the Holy Spirit. It's a very rudimentary, you know, silly analogy, but it's the way that I understand it best, is that's how you abide in the vine, by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God, so he's not a cable. That's why I say it's rudimentary. He's not a tool. We're his, right? But God, in his humility and in his mercy, he gives us a reconnection to the leadership of God. That's what the Holy Spirit is, a reconnection. So everyone who wants to live with God forever must be born again this way. And so we have to actually invite the Holy Spirit to take more and more than just our spirit, because you can barely feel your spirit. We have to invite the Holy Spirit to take our heart, what's our mind, will, and emotions, or our soul. They're used interchangeably in the Bible, your heart and your soul. We actually have to invite him to possess us. The demon possession is a counterfeit of what God wants. God wants Holy Spirit possession, but God is, he's sovereignly made us to live independently and full of free will. So when the Holy Spirit possesses you, you get more of you. When a demon possesses you, you get less of you because of the heart of Satan. He wants to take, steal, kill, and destroy. But God, he made you to give you life. So if God possesses you, what you get is more life. But you actually have to trust him to come and take over. He's got to take over the way you think. He's got to take over the way you feel. That's what we were actually worshiping and praying about this morning, was I feel kind of hard-hearted. I feel kind of unbelieving. I actually feel better when the Holy Spirit's taken over. I need you to do something I can't do. I can't drum up faith inside of me. Thank God. Faith is a fruit of the Spirit. Your lack of faith, it's a lack of connection. That's what it is. It's a lack of an open heart. It's a hard heart. So what we say is, God, break into this hard heart. I invite you, come, take over more. Do you know that Hindus do this with demons? They actually come to like a great banquet, and they just open up their mind, and they say, come, take over as much as you want. The Finger of God actually talks about that in that movie, or one of those movies, one of those, I can't remember, the Darren Wilson movies. Like, that is a counterfeit of what we can actually do. We can open our mind and say, Holy Spirit, I want you to take my thoughts. Holy Spirit, I want you to take my emotions. Holy Spirit, I want you to take my will. I actually want to do something I wasn't even planning on doing because the Holy Spirit's leading me. You can do that. He will do that. But we actually have to spend time doing that. That's a point of a prayer room. That's actually the main point of a prayer room. So everyone who wants to live with God forever must be born again. And that's what that means. Now, you have to be born again. So God, he hasn't like gone through the earth and been like, you know, Samantha, she's a good one. I'll take her with me. Angie, she's got it together. Come with me. No, he came for the people that need a doctor. So everybody has to get born again. That means everybody starts out as a baby, as in the flesh. Everybody starts out not knowing the Holy Spirit, not trusting the Holy Spirit. That's the only way you can start. If you think you started other than that, you're deceiving yourself and the truth is not in you. You started as a sinner, full of the flesh, zero connection to the leadership of God. You didn't like, no person, people delusionally think this, no person was sitting there without the Holy Spirit, hearing God talking to them on a regular basis and leading them. If you could do that, Jesus wouldn't have died on a cross. That's impossible. Now, that doesn't mean God doesn't talk to unbelievers. But you can't, as a mode of life, live in connection with God without the Holy Spirit. So if you're like, you know, I've got victory. I've never really been a greedy person. I've really been generous with my money. If you haven't repented out of the flesh in the area of money, you're still greedy. It's impossible that you wouldn't be. No, there were no good born people. Everybody was born needing to be reborn. That's what Jesus is saying right here, that you can't enter the kingdom unless you're totally reborn, right? If a baby isn't totally born, there's something wrong. So every person starts in the flesh but ends in the spirit. The degree to which we choose this is the degree to which we have a capacity for abundant life forever. So if you're just like, you know, I'm pretty good in this area, pretty good in that area. I've always been good in that. I've always been a really forgiving person. And you never deal with your unforgiveness. Never been a jealous person. Everybody was born jealous. It's the works of the flesh. It's Galatians 5. It's evident. Everybody had, it just, you care about things different than maybe some other people care about. You're jealous about something different maybe. But everybody has to deal with these things. There's really concise lists in the Bible of what depravity looks like, what the works of the flesh look like. If you haven't gone through those and been like, all right, let's deal with these, God, and then continue to deal with them for the rest of your life, you're still in them. You're just deluded and don't think you are. We have so much to talk to God about, but we mostly don't know what to talk about because the church barely talks about this reality. But the truth is, you cannot be saved without giving leadership of all of your mind, will, and emotion, your whole heart, soul, and strength to God. You have to. Now, you don't have to execute it well, but you have to want to, okay? So the degree to which we choose this, that's wanting it. That's the degree to which you'll get a capacity to live with God forever. That's, I'm talking, all this is what the point of the Holy Spirit outpouring is for. The only measure of this is the fruit of the Spirit growing in our lives. Wheat bears fruit. That's the point of the wheat and the tares. Tares, or darnel, false wheat, that plant, it looks just like wheat. It just doesn't bear fruit. And if you eat it, you get sick, okay? It'll make you actually drunk. Okay, so Matthew 13:30, that's a darnel plant. Let both grow together, the wheat and the tares, until the harvest. And at the time of the harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. We live in the time the wheat is going to bear the most fruit right now because of the conditions of the earth. The most pressure, the most heat, and the most light, they're happening right now in the harvest rain. And that's really the outpouring of the Spirit, is that harvest rain. That's what we want. We want the Spirit to come down so that we bear fruit. That's what a plant does. When the harvest, you know, the latter, sometimes you hear the latter rain, send the latter rain. And a lot of people, if you're like me, you hear the latter rain, you're thinking, yeah, let's do some healing and signs, wonders, and miracles. That's not, the latter rain is to bear fruit. If you're wheat and you get rain, you're supposed to bear the fruits of righteousness. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. But of course, the devil is a liar and he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So he prompts our flesh to think about all the wrong things and miss all the right things. That shouldn't surprise us. We should be like, okay, God, readjust me, retune me. I actually want to know what the Holy Spirit is saying about the outpouring of the Spirit. So when you hear this message, this isn't a, hey, take a note for everything Tom Stoltz says, and then we got to do that. No, this is just an invitation to say, maybe we heard some of this stuff wrong. We should actually be talking to the Holy Spirit about what is the outpouring of the Spirit? What do you want to do in our generation? How is the final revival different than all the other ones I heard about? Yeah, I appreciate those. I'm sure there's things we can learn from them. But right now, I just want to know, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do? What do you want to do in me? What do you want to do in my family? What do you want to do in my church? What do you want to do in the earth? It's a good conversation to have right now. It's a good conversation. This is where this is coming from, because I've been asking, God, what is it? what is it that has gone wrong in all these revivals? I look at Brownsville, I look at Lakeland, I look at all these revivals and like, so broken. It destroys the church. It destroys the leaders. Why? Well, maybe we're looking at all the wrong things. Maybe we should actually be looking at a whole different empowerment, okay? Now, when the Spirit is present, the Holy Spirit, item G on page 2 of the notes, doesn't wait until after we die to impart power. The Holy Spirit is actually very willing right now to impart power, right now. We pray for more healing in our lives. He will give us more opportunities to pray for people that need healing, and we'll see more healing. The more you pray, the more he does. The less you pray, the less he does. In Joel 2, the outpouring of the Spirit that Peter said, this is Acts 2. The reason Acts 2 happened is because of Acts 1. Jesus said, go into the upper room and tarry, wait. The reason Joel 2, 28 through 32 happens is because of Joel 2, 11 to 27. If you want more, you pray more. Do you want the outpouring of the Spirit? You're going to need it. We should be praying for it. We should be tarrying together. That's what that Sunday, December 6th, that's what we're trying to do, is just make some space. Just tarry together and see what the Lord will do. He did something. He did a lot, actually. He gave us a lot. Some of us, he gave it to us on the way home from the meeting. I spent like an hour after that just like, whoa, why wasn't this happening during the meeting? I heard some other people say they had the same exact experience. Like, I got flooded on my way home. Like, he wants to, that's the reason, is because we prayed. We prayed and he gave. You pray, he gives, right? We want him to give. When the Spirit is present, freedom is present. So when you get an outpouring of the Spirit, you have freedom to do more stuff, okay? Now, this is true just in general. You get filled with the Spirit, you're more free. You get rid of some of your fleshy leadership. You get rid of some of the demonic interference. You become more free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. There's freedom to see. So 2 Corinthians 3:18 is where that idea comes from. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. The freedom being described in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is freedom to see. It says Israel, they read the Bible, and it's like they got a veil over their eyes. But when you turn to the Lord, he takes away the veil, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So it's freedom to see more of what God is doing. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what the spirit of prophecy is. So when you hear about the outpouring of the Spirit, you're mostly hearing about the spirit of prophecy. God tells you stuff that you didn't know otherwise, like how to pray for people to get healed, or how to multiply things, or what's going to happen, or what somebody needs. So the spirit of prophecy, the spirit to see, this freedom, it can be abused. You could actually take the freedom and use it for your own license to go deeper into the flesh, according to the Bible. So just because the Holy Spirit gives it doesn't mean he makes you use it for holy purposes. That's really the point of my message this morning. And I'm halfway through there, and I'm halfway through the notes. We're doing great. Okay. John 14, 13 to 17. When the Spirit is present, freedom is present. This freedom from dullness, doubt, confusion, and powerlessness or death that comes from the fall. That's what the freedom is from. The Holy Spirit doesn't make us use this power to glorify God. Love would cease if God made us love him. If he made us use what he gave us for only the things that he prescribed, we would be automatons. We would be robots. He doesn't want that. He wants people that freely love the leadership of God. John 14, 13 to 17. Now, if you don't love lawfulness, even when it's coming through bad people, then you don't love the leadership of God. You really don't. John 14, 13 to 17. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate, capital A, that's the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So if you hear people say, when the Spirit's poured out on all flesh, it means all flesh. I've heard that many times from platforms. It does not mean all flesh. It means all flesh that said yes to the leadership of the Holy Spirit by praying and repenting. That's what it means. The world can't receive him. It isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. The world can't receive him. So even worldly believers, they can only receive him to the degree they want him. And they want him to the degree they pray about it and repent into it. Now, asking amiss or using the power of the Holy Spirit toward worldly increase, that's what's called adultery. So this is the real key point. if right now what you really want is people to recognize you, to notice you, to accolade you, to thank you, to give you more authority, to give you more power, what you really want when the Spirit's poured out will take you into adultery. If you don't want love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, kindness, gentleness, and self-control as a result of the outpouring of the Spirit, you're going to grow really bad stuff. Really bad stuff. You don't, right now, you want to get rid of the weeds that are in your heart so that when the rain comes down, you bear good fruit. You don't want those weeds choking out the good fruit, okay? Because it will. It will, according to the Bible, many places. So James 4, 1 to 10, this is primarily talking about wanting spiritual things. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Now, who is James talking to? The church, yes. He's saying there's fighting in the church. Well, people in the church, they must all want like new cars. No, they want to be prominent. They want to be filled with the Spirit. They want works that are impactful. They want the position of the other one. They're jealous. It says they're jealous of spiritual position. This, when the Spirit is poured out on this, it will cause so much trouble. And we've seen it in history many, many times. So James, he's actually getting people ready to receive more of God. All the writers in the New Testament are. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from evil desires at war within you? Now, that doesn't mean that you're all bad. It means you've got a war going on within you. That's what it says. There's a war within you. So most of us, if you're like me, you're like, you know about this war. You feel it sometimes when you come to meetings. You feel it when you look at Facebook. You feel it when you watch the news. You feel this war, and you're like, but, you know, there's a lot of good in me, and nobody can be perfect. So all the war stuff, yes, that's common to everybody. Well, it is, but everybody's going to hell. So you have to do something about that common to everybody thing, which is to be born again. You have to actually not be okay with the war going on inside of you, struggling for recognition, struggling to be preeminent, struggling to be noticed, struggling to save people. There's something inside of us that wants to save people, that it wants to be Jesus. That's Antichrist. We're supposed to want Jesus to save people. There's a difference. The difference between me saving somebody and Jesus saving somebody. That's what John the Baptist said. I got to decrease while he increases. I'm glad people are going to him for baptism. Well, this is something we have to be dealing with right now because the Spirit's about to be poured out. It's about to be poured out for real. And it's being poured out. I think it's actually being poured out right now. Now, what is causing the, you want what you don't have, verse 2. So you scheme and kill to get it. Kill equals lying. You kill the truth, you're lying. It's not just that, it's also killing. Like, there's a lot going on in this passage. But don't get to the point where you're like, I haven't murdered anybody. Jesus is like, if you're angry, you're killing. Do you feel jealous sometimes? You see somebody else walking in something and you're like, why isn't that mine? It's not even necessarily spiritual power. It could just be a position. It could just be a job. What you typically find out if you got the right heart, when you get the job that you thought you wanted, it ain't that great. What we want is the sitting at the feet of Jesus, open hearts, able to see him, letting him satisfy our hearts. Job's just a job. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war or take it away from them. Yet you don't have because you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. A lot of people want a healing ministry so that they could be the healing guy. A lot of people want a teaching ministry so they could just be the teacher. Or a prophetic ministry so they could get recognized as somebody that knows God. God knows if you know him. The most important opinion already knows if you know him. And what you'll find is when you're a healing person, you pray for a ton of people that don't appreciate it. Not much happens a lot of the time, or something happens and they don't recognize it and they walk away, you're going to feel more frustrated from getting that thing. Teaching is by far the least satisfying activity I have ever undertaken, and I love it. I love to do it, but I only love it when I let God tell me how he feels about it, and I mostly love preparing for it. I love the encounter with God before it, but I can tell you, as somebody who didn't want to do it at all, and then did it and found out I really liked it, and then found out, oh, that was actually designed as a test to see if I liked teaching more than I liked the one I was teaching about, to the point where I'm like, you know what the truth is? Hardly anybody hears what I'm saying anyway. We mostly hear about 5% of what each other is saying. And if I let the response of people dictate whether or not I'm a good teacher, I would have quit a long time ago because there used to be a lot more people listening to me. For real. I mean, I'm just being honest. But the truth is, I like it more than I've ever liked it. But it's got nothing to do with who hears or who responds or who says what. I like the exercise of it because it touches my heart. And not only that, but there is a war within me that doesn't want to share it, that actually is pained when other people are good at it. And I like taking time and sifting that out and saying, God, I'm not okay with that. Give me some choices to make that will actually put pressure on that and break it. I want it broken in my heart. What are you talking to the Lord about? You're like, God, I want you to put some pressure on that and break it. Do you have anything? If you don't, if you're not in an active conversation about your jealousies and the war within you, you're deluded because you're not shining yet and leading us all right into the throne room. Though you are in some ways, but there's still a war within all of us. Do you see what I'm saying? So what is on your list? What are you talking to the Lord about? What are you actively going after? This is how we get ready for the outpouring. The outpouring is power on that thing, whatever that thing is. That's what I'm contending for. Peter and his friends, when they went into the upper room, they really didn't heal that many people. They really didn't know that much of what's going on. They're asking Jesus kind of all the wrong questions. The angel's like, why are you guys still standing here looking up? He told you to go to the upper room. But when they came out of the upper room, they knew what God was doing. They were healing literally everybody. They were walking in power because God put power on their want. He put power on their war against the jealousy that was going. They were literally jealous when James and John asked Jesus to be at his right and his left. And Jesus corrected them. When they said, this is Joel 2 in the upper room, what they're saying is, we've been repenting for 10 days. We realized when he left, we didn't know what we needed to know. We didn't know the languages of the nations he was sending us to. Well, that's what he gave them. Languages, like supernatural languages. He gave them prophecy. What is on your list right now? What are you, like, there's a war inside of me and I'm not okay with that. Because that's what he's going to put power on, your want in those areas. If you're like, I'm totally fine with it, he'll put power on that. You don't want that. You don't want that. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You only want what will give you pleasure. You adulterers. This is the end time Babylon. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Now, he's talking to the church. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say that the spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy? Do you know the Holy Spirit is not okay with your selfishness? Not okay. Not like, hey, you know, I really love her intentions. He's jealous for in the entirety of your heart. You want to know what God wants you to do? He wants you to give him your heart all the way. The parts you don't like to think about, the parts you probably never really voice in front of other people. He wants those, and then he wants you to testify that you got victory over those things in your heart. That's what's going to overcome Satan, the accuser of the brethren. It's us actually dealing with the accusations with God, making peace with our adversary before we get to the judge. That's what's going to happen. That war that's coming against the saints, you don't want any righteousness in the war against you. You want to have totally dealt with that stuff with God. Because if there's wrong stuff you're doing, Peter says, if you're suffering because you're an evil doer, woe to you. But if you're suffering for Christ's sake, if you're suffering for righteousness' sake, if you're clean and the persecution comes, that's a reward. You're going to get rewarded. But if you deserved it, if it's like actually God orchestrated it to get you to see you're lawless and you refuse to see your laws, you keep making up a different story for why what you do isn't lawless. He's like, you're going to get more pain, way more pain, way more pain. This is not about all of us just had somebody else pop into our mind. This is about us, me, and you. Don't let the devil steal from you what God wants to do. It's about you. It's about me. We all know someone lawless because we all know people. Come on. Sorry. What do you think the scriptures mean when they say the Spirit of God is placed within us? The spirit God has placed within us is filled with envy, but he gives even more grace to stand against such evil desires. As scripture says, God opposes the proud, but favors the humble. If you're just willing to say, God, that's me. I'm the lawless one. I'm imagining the wrong guy. It's me you're trying to deal with. He's like, I will elevate you. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make you a leader because you lead people into humility. Into humility. You won't betray me and lead people into lawlessness, which you will if you don't repent. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. You can have victory. This isn't like, God, I've tried this. I know there's some of us that are thinking the same thing as me. God, I've been trying to get free of this literally for 10 years. He's like, but you don't have the power. I'm going to give you the power. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Submit to God. Draw near to God. He's going to draw near to you. There is victory in these words. Whether it feels like it or not, faith is saying there's victory in these words. I don't feel it, but there is victory. You were not meant to live in bondage. I just break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. You were not meant to live in less than what your heart desires in the area of freedom and righteousness. You were not meant to live in less than that. I cancel the assignment of the liar against you, telling you that you'll always be this way. That's a lie. I break it in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, give us a vision for Jesus, for righteousness in us, possessing us, empowering our desire for righteousness. Pour it into this room in Jesus' name. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts for your, he's talking to the church, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Anybody here can relate to that? Let's be honest. Let's just be honest, really. Raise your hand. Can you relate to it? Then take the advice. Take the advice. Don't write yourself out of the prescription. You got the disease. Come close to God. God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Don't do it someday. Don't set your sights for I'll do it later. Later is now. I'm telling you. I feel the Spirit. A war is coming. It will offend you if you don't get rid of the demons. It will offend you. It will turn you right around, and you'll start fighting the very thing you always thought you loved, just like Peter saying he didn't even know Jesus. You're not better than Peter in this area unless you have repented and gotten something, unless you've prayed with Jesus for an hour in the middle of the night because you humbled yourself. You're like, I will rebel against Jesus. I will fight against the church because I have a war going on within me. And the Bible says, if I don't deal with that war now, I'm going to lose it. And you are. If you don't care about it, you're going to lose it. I don't want that for you. I don't want that for me. I actually don't want to live with people losing that war. You ever been around people losing that war? I bet you have. I bet you have. I bet it was painful. Don't be that person to somebody else. Give yourself to Jesus in the area of that war right now. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord. He will lift you up in honor. This is the purpose of sackcloth. You want to know why I've been wearing a lot of sackcloth lately? This is why. This passage. You got to put this on. If you're waiting to feel it, that's not faith. You don't believe it if you're not doing something about it. You don't believe it. You got the disease and you're not taking the pill. You have to put it on. Everyone starts in the flesh. If you think you don't, you deceive yourself and the truth is not in you. 1 John 1:6-9. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living in spiritual darkness. We're not practicing the truth. But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, this fellowship, it's talking about a complete fellowship, a oneness. It's talking about a harmony, a one accord, like in the upper room. It's talking about when one part is honored, we're all honored with it. I couldn't be happier that that's happening for that person. When one part's suffering, we're all suffering. I don't care if they made me mad, if they said something awful to me yesterday, they're suffering, I'm suffering too. That's the fellowship this is talking about. It's feeling what God feels about the people around you. If you don't have that, you're deceiving yourself that it's not because of sin. And I'm telling you, in this room, none of us have that yet. But we're going to get it. We're going to get it. If we're willing to get into the game with God and declare war against the thing warring against God in us. If we're just willing to be honest with you, you can't win that war. That's the point. You need the Spirit to win the war, but you're voting right now what you want the Spirit to do when it comes. And it's going to come. It's going to come in power. It's going to come in power, and it's going to burn the tares, and it's going to gather the wheat together and put them in the barn. Because God wants to live with people that are good to live with. That's why he left. Because his holy presence would literally kill us in our depravity and our hatred of holiness. That's why he left. But I tell you what, he's coming home. He's coming home, and he's telling us by the signs right now in the earth, he's not waiting. He's not waiting. So if you're waiting, you're behind the game. He's coming home. His bright, holy presence will consume all darkness, all of it. He desires none should perish, none of us. But if we don't repent, we will. We will. And more is expected of us than the world. So if you're looking at the world, you're like, they better repent. You got it all wrong, because he says more is expected of you if you've been given much. And the Holy Spirit is God given to man. You couldn't be given more. It's impossible to be given more than the Holy Spirit you got right now. And are you saying, I love your leadership, Holy Spirit. I want to get washed in it. I want to get baptized in it. I love your leadership. Or are you saying, yes, there's a war inside of me. I love your leadership, Holy Spirit, but not all the way. And I'm okay with that. You see the equation? You see the way that math works out? But if we're living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We just fell way behind in the notes. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, now listen to this. This is the entire answer. I'm guilty. And I'm not okay with it. Now you can be guilty. You can be condemned. And then you could just have a vision for, I'm always going to be this way. And thank God he's just merciful on little sinners like me that still kick everything and get mad all the time. That's a terrible vision. That vision will never increase your holiness. But I forget what's behind me. I get back in the race. I run. He's going to find me running. Yes, I'm a child. Yes, I'm a baby. I can barely run. I barely know how, but he's going to find me running. Is he going to find you running? He's going to find you making peace with demons. If we confess our sins to him, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all wickedness. Only he could do it. You can't do it. But the devil's a liar. He wants to condemn you and tell you you're made that way. You can't do anything about it. Well, yeah, that's true. But God can. That's why we give ourselves to him. Right? There's always a little truth in the lie. We know we're coming out of this universal sin. It's universal. The spiritual darkness is the way that James described it, or the way that that John described it, the spiritual darkness. When we have clean fellowship, we stay in our lane together. We don't want other people's gifting or other people's ministry. We want gifting that's helpful to the church, to Jesus's body. You know, if we all did the same thing, the body would be very lacking. If we were all like a foot, we'd be like something from a C.S. Lewis movie. We need the body. And the problem is we have very limited imaginations and we really don't care that much about what God wants to give us. So we're just kind of lazy about, well, I see, I'd like to be a worship leader, or I'd like to be a preacher, or, you know, I guess I could do the offering, the three things that you see every Sunday. But that's not the body that Jesus is describing. That's not the body of Acts 2. That's not the body that it's in. Acts 2 was the first fruits. It's not even close to what we're going to be walking in the next months and years. If we will say yes to this, if we'll just be like, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, more than I could ask or imagine. God wants to do something with me. It's not too late for me. It's not too early for me. Maybe I'm an 11th hour worker. He's going to pay me the same if I'm willing to get in the game and say, I believe you made me for a unique, specific purpose that only I can fill in the days leading up to your return. Like John the Baptist, a witness that if God could do this in me, what might he do in you? Because you're totally different. You have a totally different experience. You grew up different. You grew up with some things other people didn't. You grew up without some things other people didn't. You think things other people don't think. You pay attention to things other people don't pay attention to. And when the Holy Spirit touches a humble heart that's uniquely, fearfully, and wonderfully made, he's going to explode you over the earth to declare his beauty and to declare his glory in a way you've never seen before. You couldn't ask or imagine it. But if you just are like, I guess I could be a Bible teacher. I guess I could do like a home study. What are some of the other things? I guess I could work in the nursery. What are the ministries I've seen before? Then you're in the flesh. You got no imagination. The Holy Spirit's not illuminating anything. Repent. Repent. You're made for so much more than you think. So much more. I got to take my own advice. I compare myself to other people continually. I just recorded a song. I hear the song, then I hear the guy that I really love, and I'm like, it's not even close to as good as him. And it's so evil. It's evil. Because God didn't make me to be Jonathan Ogden, though I love him. I really do. He made me to be Tom Stoltz. And he gave me Tom Stoltz's vocal cords, and he gave me Tom Stoltz's imagination. He gave me Tom Stoltz's age. I like music that's way cooler than I am. But he made me to be me. He made you to be you. And that's just one tiny sliver of an example. What are you going to do empowered by the Holy Spirit? I don't know. We haven't seen it yet. Hasn't been on the radar yet. And if we do this right, if we get a vision for what God wants to do, will be so helpful to Jesus to revealing who he is to this city. I want to do that. Do you guys want to do that? Stand with me. Lainey, you can come back up. There's more in the notes. The point of the notes is, I was in a prayer meeting, I think on Friday, and I felt the light of the Spirit. I felt fire on my right side of my body. And God said, if you're at my left side, your right side is on fire. And he said, everybody wants to be at my right. Everybody wants like the same positions we could imagine. He says, the body is so lopsided right now. He's like, light's only been shining on one half. Like we hold up pastors and preachers and teachers and musicians. And he's like, it's so out of whack. Get to the other side. Want something that the body doesn't have. The body needs helps and administrations. Like we bring that down like three pegs. The body needs to function. I mean, can you guys see it's not functioning? It's in a feedback loop of teacher after teacher offering fleshy opinion because they're just trying to jockey for the position. We want something that we've never seen. Let's get on the right side of God at his left hand. It's weak. It's low. He says, if you're invited to a wedding, take the low place. I'll raise you up to the high place. But if you keep trying to put yourself in the high place, I'm going to put you down in the low place if you want that. If you want a vision for the left hand of God, I just want to pray for us to get a vision for what he's actually calling us to. Holy Spirit, in this room, I just thank you for the freedom, Holy Spirit, that you've given us to imagine with you what you want to do. Lord, I repent. If this is you, just say, I repent of wanting somebody else's ministry. God, I repent of wanting Mike Bickle's ministry right now in Jesus' name. I repent of wanting somebody else's ministry. I want you to do something totally unique in me. Give me a vision for how to take the very next step, just the next step. I don't even need a life vision. I just need that very next step. What I'm going to do this afternoon, what I'm going to imagine with you this afternoon, what I'm going to say to you, what you're going to say to me, the Bible passage you want me to read, the next step, that's it. Getting into the place you made for me that no one else can occupy. I just want the next step, God. In this room, Holy Spirit, release freedom. Release power. Release fire. Touch us with hope. With belief, God. Break in with belief right now. There is no rescue team. I hear the Lord saying, there's no rescue team coming. You are the rescue team. You are the team. Holy Spirit, break in with fire. Break in with fire. Vision, love. God, wrap us up in your arms of love. He delights in you. He likes you so much. You guys are so faithful. I just hear him say, I can feel his heart. I can feel it beating in me. You are so faithful, he says over you. You keep signing up. You're in this wrestle. You're in this pain. But you keep saying yes. I delight in you. I love you. You are pleasant to me. I see you as a filly among Pharaoh's chariots. You're lovely to me. I will never let you go. I will never let you go, he says. God, give us vision in Jesus' name. Amen.